There are certain verses or doctrines, perhaps, that often become hooks on which we hang virtually the entirety of our Christian faith upon such things. Yet, I found on those occasions when somebody asked me, "So what's your favorite Bible verse?" I'm kind of stumped. It's kind of like asking me, "So which of your kids do you love the best?" 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 certainly is one of those favorite Bible verses. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Here is a favorite verse, and of course, expresses a crucial and most important doctrine, the doctrine of regeneration, the doctrine of the new birth. I've previously testified of the importance that doctrine has been for me in my experience of faith. What does the Bible tell me about what the Holy Spirit does when he gives new birth to a dead sinner? What is the result of that birth? And how is that new life experienced and evidenced? I mentioned this matter of displacement, the putting off, the putting on, this new life that like a seed grows in the soil of the heart and pushes the other things in life away, particularly as we're about the business of weeding our hearts from the anxieties and the pleasures of the things of this age, and encouraging through faith and faith and repentance and the means of grace to be fruitful in our service to Christ. And this new life will in fact make itself evident by God's sovereign grace transforming the entirety of the redeemed humanity, culminating, of course, in the resurrection of our body at the end of this age. And I appeal to you again to prayerfully and meditatively consider the texts that we've looked at in past sermons in this series concerning the matter of being new creations in Christ. And ask the Spirit to teach you and enable you to understand you are not going to come to an understanding of who you are in Christ by your natural inclination, your natural capacity. You must be taught of God. We must learn from the Spirit who we are and how to internalize these realities of being new creations in Christ Jesus. This is essential to our overcoming by faith, to our running our race and finishing with good form with our eyes upon Christ Jesus. Well, our attentions now come to verse 18 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So here in verse 18, Paul is going to pivot to the next subject at hand, and that's the topic of reconciliation. And in the following verses, we're going to see how he entrusts us with the ministry of reconciliation. He'll define what reconciliation entails and explain to us what this ministry is about. But first of all, as we begin verse 18 this afternoon, Paul simply reminds us of all that God has done for us in Christ and in us in Christ. So our focus is upon those first few words, "Now all these things are from God." Well, first question, what things are we given? All of these things. Well, what things? Well, in the context, we've already seen verse 14 and verse 15. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." All these things concerns Christ's love for us. All that he has done for us through his death. All that he has done in us, having died for us, having been risen for us, so that we now our new us, so that we now are brought into this new epic of salvation, this new covenant life, and that we are now to live no longer for ourselves because we've been given these things, the love of Christ in his death and resurrection. Verse 16, we've been given the new things of a new perspective on life. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. We have a new way of seeing self and the world and life itself around us. In verse 17, we've been given regeneration. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. It's the language of being created afresh in chapter 4. Paul refers to the first day of creation in chapter 4 and verse 6. But God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who was shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and said, let there be light. And that same God who created out of nothing is the God now who has shown redemptive light into our hearts, so that by his work, we are new creations. We are a creature who's been created by God and now recreated by God. Are you a creature who's been created by God? Did you argue with him about that? Did you prescribe the circumstances of your life in this original created order? No. He made you to be the creature that you are. Well, so too, he made you to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we don't want to argue with him about that. We don't want to talk back to him and say, no, you can't do that. Yes, he can. And that's one of the things, of course, that he's given to you. God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. He gives life to the dead. He's the God who raises the dead. He's the creator God who calls into being that which does not exist. If God is God to have made you and created you with life of this present age, he no less is the God who has the prerogative to raise you from the dead and to give you new life in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, the first four verses, I alluded to them this morning. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Our union with Christ. What things? Our union with Christ is so vital, so real, so living, that the Word of God identifies us with the very things of Christ, with Christ himself. So that positionally in Christ, we have died. In Christ, we have risen. In Christ, we have been given already even his royal status, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, reading at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. What things? Well, the things of the gospel, the benefit of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the working of the Spirit, whereby now we know all things relative to Christ, and the working of the Spirit who has changed our hearts and minds and our perspective, a regenerating work that is akin to the original work of creation, but now the light of redemptive grace shining in our hearts in union with Christ Jesus, so that already in Christ we are positioned as having died and risen and even seated at the right hand of God. But secondly, the question comes, well, who gives us all these things? And of course, Paul completes our answer when he says, now all these things are from God. These are from God. Again, in 1 Corinthians, looking at chapter 1, and reading from verse 30 of 1 Corinthians. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who gave us all these things? By his doing. Who? God. No man will boast before God. What's the explanation for you as a Christian? God's doing. Not my bragging, not my achievement. What God has done and what he has given to me in Christ. Christ is our wisdom, that which is so adamantly pursued by the Greeks that Paul is contrasting as having foolishness compared to the wisdom of God earlier in this chapter. But not only wisdom, righteousness. We are justified in Christ, sanctified, we are given a life of holiness unto God and redemption, having been rescued and returned into the embrace of the God who created us and who has resurrected us in Christ Jesus. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever, Romans 12, verse 36. In chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, look at verse 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit was from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Know the things, all these things. Know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Later in verse 16, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. The things that go into our understanding, the things that go into our engagement with the words of God, combining these words that are living with us who are living, with a life of the Spirit. The same Spirit who speaks in the living Word is the Spirit who has made us alive and given us ears to hear and eyes to see the Jesus that is revealed in Scripture. We have these things, what? From God. And then in chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul points to the future things. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. The things of your desire to serve Christ, your zeal for the name of Christ, your Lot-like grieving at the idolatry of the Sodom in which you live, the things that are often unseen and yet there in your righteous but maybe vexed soul, God sees. And in the day when he will say to you, "Well done, you good and faithful servant, enter into your master," it will be because the things that have been given to you and the things that have been worked in and through you are true and real and given to you from God. Again, I reference that quote from Philip Hughes that I've referenced a couple times in this series. As man in Christ, he that is the Christian is in fact a new creation, a reborn microcosm belonging to the eschatological macrocosm of the new heavens and the new earth. Your having been regenerated, having been united to Christ in his death and his resurrection, is a microcosm of eschatology. The end of the world has already happened in you. You've already passed through judgment in Christ into resurrection life. And you already are given all things in Christ Jesus, which he has obtained for you. You are a miniature of what is yet to happen in the larger stage of human history. What things are given? Who has given us these things? And then thirdly, how do we possess all these things? Well, the answer to that is in that very simple but popular refrain of the apostle, in Christ. All these things come from God and are given to us in Christ. Again, back to Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? What things? All God's saving purposes to bring you into glorious conformity with his Son. Purposes wrought from before the foundation of the world. Purposes that concern all things coming together in your life so as to bring about your salvation, not only your justification, but your sanctification, your glorification, not only giving you the legal privileges of your union with Christ, but the living realities of your union with Christ. Paul says, what should we say to these things? Well, if God has created us and then recreated us, are we going to talk back and say, oh, no, you can't do that? I can't believe that. Well, you must. For the God who has brought all things into being out of nothing, Paul says, is the God who has given you resurrection life, you who believe. Don't question him. He doesn't seek your permission to give you life. Has he done that? Has he given you all things? What do you say to that? Well, you say thank you. You say thank you. How can I serve you? How can I show by my life and testimony that I'm so grateful for grace? That's what Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Blessed be God. Thank you. Let me worship you. Let me serve you. Let me seek full satisfaction in all these things. We come back to Romans 8. How do we have these things? If God is for us, verse 31, who is against us? He who did not spare his Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? What things? All the things that work together in order to bring about your salvation. There's nothing of which Christ has obtained for you that will be withheld from you. All things. What things? Well, who will bring a charge against God's elect? What court is going to overturn the verdict that has been announced on your behalf in Jesus Christ? There's no civil court. There's no international court. You've been given all things in Christ. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Why? Because of all the things that we've been given by God in Christ Jesus. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, Psalm 84 and verse 11. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and his excellence. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, how do I possess this? In Christ. In Christ. All things are yours in Christ. He is yours, and you are his, and all he has is yours, and you have all things in him. Again, that passage that I read for our prayer of illumination from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21 to verse 23, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, all things, things present, things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Let me ask you, is there anything missing? Anything you'd like to add to that list? The Bible says all things are yours. Are you going to say, well, wait a minute, I got something over here. Can I have that? All things. Things present, things to come, all things. You say, yes, but there are other things, you know. There are things that cause me real concern. As I look at this Roman 8 passage, what about all of those things that are there in verse 35? Look at all of those things there in verse 38 and 39. What about those things? What about the things that I struggle with inside of myself, my sins, my doubts, my character flaws, physical illness, aging, pain? What about those things? How about things outside of me? My relationship with my kids, my spouse, my parents, my siblings. Relationship to other Christians, other church members, even non-Christians. What about those things? What about those big things out there? Our loss, our concern for the loss of common grace in our culture. Economic fragility and uncertainty. Our jobs, our finances. What about those things? What about the geopolitical unsettledness of our day? What are the saber-rattling we're hearing from Russia, from China, from Iran? What about the state of the evangelical church in the United States and in other parts of the world? What about those things? You know, 5 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation had things that were disconcerting about them. What about those things? What do we say about all of these things that are arraigned against us? Well, frankly, brethren, we say a lot about them. We say a lot. They're often the subject of our conversation. They're often the content of our words. We say a lot about them in our worrying and our complaining, in our fretting, our murmuring, our grousing. And we need to remind each other and to remind ourselves. We have all things in Christ Jesus. And all the things that we have in Christ are from God. Eternal things. Lasting things. Not vain, passing things. Blessings that are given to us because God, in his grace and his wisdom and his love, has joined us to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is head over all things. And you're in Christ. And all things are yours in Christ. And Christ is God's. So as we come to the table, let's remember the things that have been given to us, as we hear once again the words of our Lord when he says, this is my body which is given for you. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen.